politics, life. Cross Kitchens, Kansas City's home remodeler, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at crosskitchenskc.com.
We get some really nice feedback from many of you about a couple of topics on the podcast this week. The first is the pro-Hamas, I guess, riots, we can call them. People are getting arrested for throwing things at cops and whatnot, so we can call them protests, we can call them riots, we can call them demonstrations, you can call them a lot of different things. But they're definitely pro-Hamas and pro-Palestine. We know that. Got some feedback on the calls to cut off Wi-Fi to disperse these crowds. And also got some really nice feedback about the unmarried women being a giant voting bloc in America and a difference maker come November. So we'll address a couple of those with some of the things we heard. And the first response was about these demonstrations. And so many of you said, well, that's just a terrific idea that people are floating out there, cut off the Wi-Fi of these demonstrators, and these demonstrations won't continue. They're pitching tents, they're taking over campuses, they're blocking streets, they're doing all these different things, and while they're doing it, of course, they're filming it and posting it on social media, and if you cut that portion of it off, they'll go away. You liked that, but then the University of Texas happened, and it doesn't have anything to do with cutting off Wi-Fi, and it occurred to me that I'm trying too hard, you're trying too hard, we're all trying too hard to find solutions to things that we already have a solution for. The solution to all this is enforcing the law and send in law enforcement and take care of it. They're not doing that in New York. These campuses still have tent cities on them. The colleges have decided they don't want help from the New York Police Department or state authorities, and they're going to allow these demonstrations to continue to take place at Columbia and NYU and whatnot on the campus. They've stopped classes for terrorism support, basically. These people are pro-Hamas. Hamas is recognized as a terrorist organization by our government, an enemy of the state, if you will. And these people are allowed to continue demonstrating, and they've canceled class. Now, if you're paying $100,000 a year or whatever it is to go to one of these Ivy League schools, you're going to school remotely. It's back to COVID rules. You're sitting in front of your computer. It's one giant Zoom call, and you're studying that way. I don't think that's what people are paying for when they went to school there for their education. But the University of Texas showed us it's not about cutting off Wi-Fi. It's not about allowing, quote-unquote, free speech. Free speech is allowed. This is chanting death to the Jews, death to America, and things of this nature. That's not free speech. That's hate speech. And if you are threatening violence, it is a crime. It has always been a crime to threaten violence. If it's in a meaningful way, an off-the-cuff remark, a joke by a comedian, not so much. But if you're literally organizing death to America or death to Jews, it's criminal in its nature. And the University of Texas saw it as such. I did not expect this. Austin, Texas is a liberal city, the city part anyway. The campus of the University of Texas has 50,000 students, and it is right next to downtown. It is very close. It's all right there. And it is, as most major universities, a liberal institution. But their president, University of Texas Austin President Jay Hartzell, released a statement Wednesday night that defended his decision to shut down the anti-Israel protests on campus, where over 30 people were arrested. And Hartzell wrote in his statement, quote, "Our rules matter and they will be enforced." It was a lengthy statement. He recognized there was a lot of emotion surrounding these events and went on to say, quote, "This has been a challenging day for many. We have witnessed much activity we normally do not experience on our campus, and there is understandably a lot of emotion surrounding these events. Today, our university held firm, enforcing our rules while protecting the constitutional right to free speech. Peaceful protests within our rules are acceptable. Breaking our rules and policies and disrupting others' ability to learn are not allowed. The group that led this protest stated it was going to violate institutional rules. Our rules matter. They will be enforced. Our university will not be occupied." Over 30 arrests were made. They were jailed, I assume released shortly thereafter. The governor of the great state of Texas, Greg Abbott, said he took it even further and said, "These protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be allowed in Texas, period." He believes that students that violated the law or policy or that were arrested, if they were students, should be expelled from the university immediately. The University of Texas has every right and authority to do that. If you start expelling students after they've paid their fees for the semester and gone through all that and deny them their education, they will learn. Mayor of New York has said, look, the agitators here are coming from the outside. This is becoming organized. This is Soros-led. This is the far left. It's the same people that show up for BLM. It's the same people that show up for abortion. It's the same people that show up for anything on the far left. They're basically professional agitators. These tent cities didn't pop up by chance. They're all brand new tents. These aren't students that had these. If you go to Columbia in New York City, you don't have a giant REI tent in your dorm. You don't. Okay, you just got it, and you're setting it up for this. Now, maybe you're a rich kid, maybe you got daddy's credit card, you can buy anything you want, but it looks like this stuff is more and more organized, and we must applaud the University of Texas for just saying, it's not going to happen. This isn't happening here. You cannot, you have no right to disrupt others' ability to learn at this school. There are 50,000 students, and we are not going remotely again. We're not shutting this campus down, and you're not occupying this place. It isn't going to happen. And while it was cute and funny for me to talk about on a podcast cutting off the Wi-Fi, and it would probably be effective, and maybe Texas could deploy that as well, I missed the point. I missed the mark completely. I completely missed the mark in my interest and excitement to say, hey, here's a way to do this that doesn't escalate, that isn't violent, that doesn't lead to, you know, whatever. I missed the mark of there are laws and there are a lot of people here breaking the laws. Not all demonstrators are breaking the law. That is true. The ones that are must be arrested. They should be expelled from these schools if they break the law. That's an easy decision for any school to make. If you get arrested for breaking the law, you're expelled from school. That's easy. That's the deterrent. Following the law, we don't recognize, we're such a lawless country. Like, we've got a former president that has all these 91 indictments and 4 court cases going on. And we have serial killers that, you know, have only been tried in one court or had one charge against them. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. So we've got a justice system right now that's completely messed up. We know that. We see that. But what we also should remember is we have real laws on the books that are good, that we functioned as a country properly for a long time. 250 years, we functioned and had real laws in place, laws that kept an invasion from illegal aliens from happening. When you get a lawless commander-in-chief and administration that bypasses all the laws and just tells people with executive privilege, executive order, executive power to stand down at the border and just let them cross, when you do that, you're basically breaking the law. Supreme Court will determine ultimately whether presidential powers allow you to do some of the things that Joe Biden does. There will be cases brought. There have been cases brought. And they will eventually decide whether the president really has the right to do this. This never was intended to be a dictatorship, but we all recognize there must be executive power and executive privilege that exists that doesn't exist anywhere else within our government. But our laws are pretty good in this country. We can bash politicians. We can bash our system and say it's broken and doesn't work. But it carried the day for over 200 years in a very functional manner because we followed and respected the rule of law. When people broke the law on college campuses, and by the way, they were working on behalf of promoting a terrorist organization, we followed the law and used it to apprehend those people and stop them from doing things that is a hindrance to society. Things that block the Golden Gate Bridge, for example, or shut down roads going into O'Hare Airport, which we saw last week. When these people are doing this, they're breaking the law. They're keeping you and I from living our lives and enjoying our rights and freedoms. And if we enforce the law, which I guess my mistake talking about the Wi-Fi and such was that we just have a whole bunch of places that don't want to enforce the law. We got a lot of big cities that don't want to enforce the law. there's double signaling everywhere for law enforcement on what you're supposed to be doing. Soft prosecutors, unless it's political in the other party, then we're going to be tough prosecutors. None of it makes sense. Up is down, down is up. We see all this. And I shouldn't even be saying tip the cap to the University of Texas Austin president Jay Hartzell. He did his job. He did what he was hired to do. Make sure that the 50,000 students that go to the University of Texas are safe and they can get their education. And when a group of people state that they're going to violate institutional rules and they're going to occupy the University of Texas on behalf of a terrorist organization, you round them up and you arrest them. And you absolutely should expel them if they're students. But you created a safe campus. You did it right in the heart of a liberal city. I still don't believe most Democrats are on board with this. I mean, the Jewish vote in America is what? Three million or something Jews voted in 2020. And they were about two-thirds Democrat. Well, I don't think they like this. I don't see this as their part of their party. I don't know how those Democrats have ever been, those Jewish people have ever been in the Democrat Party. I don't understand that. I've never understood it. And I think they're switching. I think there's going to be a lot of party jumping here by Jewish people. And why are we doing this? Ultimately, what does it come down to? Why is Joe Biden, why are all these places being soft on Hamas demonstrators? They started this. They had paratroopers go in with automatic weapons to a concert and kill innocent civilians. Slaughtered them. Israel is responding. I heard a really smart guy. I think this was on MSNBC. He's a professor at NYU, and he's Jewish. And he said, the problem we have here is when the United States was attacked at Pearl Harbor, the ratio of people that the United States killed compared to died at Pearl Harbor was enormous. United States went on to kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, eventually with dropping nuclear bombs. And nobody said the United States didn't have the right to do that. That Israel apparently is the only state on earth that doesn't have the right to go win a war. He said everybody just expects Israel to shake hands, to say, okay, it's a draw. Ceasefire, it's over. You killed us. We killed some of you. It's over. He said, why is the entire world against Israel from winning a war? Why shouldn't Israel take all that land back? Why shouldn't they? It seems to me they should. If those people that live there in that Gaza Strip are going to be doing that to your people, take it away from them. Go win it in your war. I support that. Get them out. Send them to Iran or Afghanistan or wherever it is that they want to go live, but not right there as part of Israel. It doesn't work. We've tried it for centuries. It doesn't work. You're a sovereign state. Protect your land. Go win your war. And I just thought it was really smart and an astute point that Israel's the only country ever that's not allowed to win a war. Because now everybody's saying, okay, stop. Stop the genocide. Well, was it genocide when we dropped the bomb on Japan? Or was it a war? Was it a war to be won? Germany and Japan had to be defeated in World War II. And they were. The good guys won. The world was a better place for a long, long, long time. And now it circles back. This anti-Semitism in Germany started about 100 years ago. It's existed forever, but what led to World War II was really beginning about 100 years ago. And this is ugly, and it's the same kind of stuff. And why is it okay? These people, what they're demonstrating about, what they're saying, if it was anti-black, anti-gay, anti-anything other than anti-Jew, how would we be reacting? I mean, literally, people would be ruining their lives. They'd be blackballed forever. If this was Ku Klux Klan, would they allow it to happen? Anti-black people with hoods on? These people are, they've got masks and scarves and hats, and you can't tell who these people are. It's the same thing. If this was the Klan demonstrating, what would be happening? This would not be allowed. There are so many things that if the demonstrations were happening would not be allowed. It's crazy. But a pro-terrorist group against Jews, they're just letting it happen. And the University of Texas is the first place really to take a stand and say, this isn't going to happen. And I'm surprised because it's a liberal school in a liberal town, and I'm excited that they did that. And my apologies for, I wasn't really mocking. I mean, you know, the Wi-Fi thing is not a horrible idea. It makes sense on a lot of levels to cut off their Wi-Fi. And maybe that's part of the discussion of what to do. But the point that I was missing was somebody just needs to step up and take care of it. And the University of Texas showed us how. And everybody should be following that right now. They really should. KKHI is brought to you by Advantage Termite and Pest Control. I spoke with a couple of different people yesterday who have now called Advantage for sprinkler system issues. They've got broken sprinkler heads. They need them adjusted. They need them turned on. They'll do your sprinkler turn on and adjustment and maintenance for you with your sprinkler system. Advantage does all that. They do complete lawn care as well. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at AdvantageTPC.com. I'm shocked how many people have responded to me and said, oh my gosh, I didn't know they did sprinklers. Apparently everybody's looking for a sprinkler person. Advantage will do it. 913-768-8989. That's 913-768-8989 online at AdvantageTPC.com. And if the sprinklers are hitting your windows and the water's coming in, you might need some new windows from Window World. Depending on how old your windows are, how old your house is, you could have window issues. The best replacement windows come with a lifetime warranty, and they're made in America. They also come with 0% financing. That's Window World. Online at windowskansascity.com. They have multiple years where they've won the J.D. Power, an Associates Award for customer service, and we know their products are great, and they come with a lifetime warranty. Doesn't get any better than that. These are the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, and it doesn't cost you anything to have them out to take a look, whether it's one window or the entire house. Window World, online at windowskansascity.com, 816-799-0820. And North Kansas City Dental and Dr. Bill Bush. Hey, Dr. Anna Everson over there at NKC Dental. Her parents are patrons. She's a dentist there. Her parents are patrons. She just became the official dentist of the Kansas City Current. So she's going to have all the lady soccer players in there and do their dentist work. Dr. Everson is part of North Kansas City Dental, along with Dr. Bush and several other great dentists. One of the dentists can be yours, including Dr. Bush, if you make the call and schedule an appointment with him, 816-471-2911. We know many of you hate going to the dentist, but oral health is important to general physical health. If you have not had a checkup in a while, go in, get your teeth clean, and get the checkup at North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Joe Biden had one of those senior moments on Wednesday. He was reading a speech from a teleprompter where he always looks confused. You know, the teleprompter is like 3 feet in front of him. And Biden has that look in his eye like the prompter is, you know, a bad quarterback looking 50 yards downfield trying to find a receiver. Flustered, squinting, looking, can't find anything. That thing's right in front of him. Those letters are really big. And as he's reading from his prompter yesterday, they put in brackets. He says, we want to do this for 4 more years. Well, he's supposed to pause right there and give the crowd a chance to start chanting, 4 more years, 4 more years. They want that. They want that chant. That's better than a Biden speech. So they tell the crowd this. They prompt them. They let them know. And his job is to just stop and let it happen. Look, if you're president of the United States, it is a small test to pass that you're going to go out and read this off a teleprompter. And when you get to the part of the speech today where you say you want to do this for 4 more years, just pause, just take a break. The crowd will start chanting, let them go. It's insane that we have a president of the United States that can't go deliver a speech and know at that point in the speech, just stop. So on the prompter, they literally write the word pause, really big for him. In brackets. And of course, he reads the word pause. He's a moron. He doesn't know where he is or what's going on. I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. Politics aside, I cannot believe that we stand and we have no mechanism or no wherewithal to switch presidents when this occurs. We are so compromised right now, and we see this with wars on all these fronts and the overwhelming spending that we're doing and inflation. All of these things are a result of the 2020 election. If Trump won, the economy would be great, prices would be lower, wages would be higher, we wouldn't be fighting wars, we wouldn't have 30 million new illegal aliens. None of this would have happened. Elections matter more than ever, and we just allow this. But when we cut right down to it, we take the politics out of it, when we stop talking about policy or events that are unfolding, and we just analyze that we're a country, we're the most advanced, wealthiest, most powerful country in the history of mankind. And we are led by an absolute buffoon that can't read a speech. How is it possible in our system that this is the most powerful person in the free world? It's not true. The most powerful thing in the free world clearly is the deep state. If we've learned anything under the Biden presidency, we've learned that the president isn't the one. That the president is not the most powerful person on earth. The president kowtows to others and is told what to do by a deep state and a machine that enriches these presidents, enriches these senators, enriches these representatives, enriches all of the deep state and all of the people that permanently live in the D.C. area. That is all one giant money-making machine for all of them. And the guy at the top is just a buffoon that can't read a teleprompter. When you cut down to the very basic core and understand that our president cannot be told to go give a 5-minute speech, and at the part in your speech where you say 4 more years, just step back from the podium for a second, that he can't remember that and do that on his own, and you have to write on the screen, pause for him, and then he reads, pause, you're unfit for office. You know, they told us for 4 years Donald Trump was unfit. Joe Biden is the walking, bumbling, stumbling definition of unfit for the office. I mean, I can't even believe it. A busy court week for Donald Trump. We've seen what's going on in the sham case in New York. But today, the Supreme Court will hold a hearing. This is Thursday. We'll hold a hearing regarding presidential immunity. And this will involve the Mar-a-Lago case, the presidential records that he had. There's a couple of interesting things taking place in that case right now. If the Supreme Court comes out with a ruling at some point before the election, that case can just flat go away. I don't know how you don't rule that the president has immunity, and while he's president, he can remove documents, because he's the one that can declassify anything. And if he removes them, he's declassified them. If he takes them to Mar-a-Lago, we'll see. I'm not a legal scholar, but it's logical. I even want Joe Biden to have the right to do that. Now, he's a buffoon, but I think the president should have the right to do that. I think there should be strong presidential immunity on a lot of fronts. I think we need that. So the Supreme Court is hearing that today, and we normally know how these things will be ruled based on the questions, the transcription or reporting of what certain justices ask at the hearing. We can tell which way they're going. At the same time, there's a report out there that Eileen Cannon, who's the judge in the Mar-a-Lago case, the documents case at Mar-a-Lago, has unredacted some of the documents, and they show that the Biden administration coordinated with the Department of Justice prior to the Mar-a-Lago raid. Now, to you and I, that isn't news. We're not surprised that the Biden administration coordinated with the DOJ to raid Mar-a-Lago, Trump's house. We're not surprised by that at all. I guess this isn't that surprising either. It's just shockingly awful that this is not news. How is that not news? How is it that when it's a Democrat, it just isn't news anywhere? And even places on the right don't seem to want to touch it. If we've got unredacted documents from Eileen Cannon, the judge in that case, that show the Biden administration coordinating with the DOJ prior to a Mar-a-Lago raid, and in one excerpt it says, keep us apprised of what you're doing, keep us informed, keep us in the loop as to what's going on, that's coordinating, and that's really all you need to know. It's all of this is politically motivated and coordinated. We know that. And then so when it comes out, it's not even news. I think inherently the American public knows this. I do. I think we do. I think we do as a population. Our final news topic here today is the one regarding my comments about the voting bloc of unmarried women comprising 23% of all voters, and they are 68 to 31 Democrats. It's an overwhelming voting bloc. This is the Swifties. We know who these people are. We see these women. They're in the demonstrations. They'll demonstrate for anything. They'll do anything. They'll go to art galleries and throw paint on the glass over the art. They'll show up at Code Pink events and put blood all fake blood all over themselves. They'll go to a BLM march. They'll do anything. If you're rallying, we want free rent. We want free this, free this, free that. They'll show up for anything. They'll show up for anything. So the response I got, I'm just going to say this. Not all of you. I don't believe that all of you are this way. Many of you, I'm going to say it right now. I'm a nicer guy than you because I wasn't going to bring this up. But I must have got a dozen emails all saying the same thing. Kevin, you know why those women are unmarried. Take a look at them. They're fat and ugly. I saw a tweet the other day that said, if you're still wearing a mask in 2024, it only proves that you're terminally ugly. People are mean. People are mean. And I know none of you specifically meant to be mean to any individual, but you're right. These unmarried women are not attractive. They don't want to be attractive. They either feel like they've been kicked into a bin of society that doesn't allow them to be part of and all that is good, being married, raising children, having a family. They either believe they've been kicked out of that and are something else, and they find their religion to be that group of people. And that's what we see, and that's why they vote accordingly. They overwhelmingly vote that way. And if you get to like age 30, it's even more dramatic. Okay, because a lot of young women wouldn't be married at 24 or 25, but may have a boyfriend and on their way to getting married. I'm guessing a lot of those women are in the 31% that say they're Republicans. But you get to age 30, let's say, you're single, you're going to be single your whole life, unmarried woman, you're probably 80 to 90% a Democrat at that point. It's stunning. It's crazy along those lines how it is. And thank you to so many of you that pointed out the reason why these women are unmarried is nobody will have them. Same can be said for men. Listen, there's some men at these protests. They're the same kind of losers. I'll say it. Have you seen them? Do you want your daughter dating them? No thanks. No. No thank you. Same thing. Not being sexist. A lot of those men are pigs too. On to sports we go, brought to you by Aspen Wealth Management, online at aspenwealth.com. Trevor says he will now give you a financial checkup just for free. It's almost like going to Dave Ramsey's office or something. He'll just take a look at what you're doing and try to chart you on a future path. If you are having financial difficulties and don't know where you're going wrong or think you're going wrong, call Trevor over at Aspen Wealth, 913-491-0500. If you're looking to roll over a 401k or an IRA, if you have a previous job in a 401k and it's just been sitting there, and you don't know what to do with it, get that thing out of it and have him move it for you and get it in something that's going to work for you over the years. AspenWealth.com, 913-491-0500. The Holsinger Brothers can be your financial personal concierge. Is Aspen the place for you? I think it is, online at AspenWealth.com. The Finch Knife Company sale continues this week, 20% off the entire inventory through Sunday as they're clearing everything out for the new models. This is the first time they've done it. Finch Knives been with us for 3 years on the podcast. They have never had a sale. They have never had a sale. Every single knife at FinchKnifeCo.com is 20% off right now. Get online. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife at FinchKnifeCo.com. And Back 9 Development is Kansas City's custom home builder. A consultation with TJ Vilkanskas could change your life. Maybe it's time to build your dream home or do a dream addition or maybe a dream business. Maybe you'd like to do some development with the land that you have. TJ's the expert at it, and he can probably guide you through the process. Maybe you'll team up. Maybe you could become partners. 785-236-0170. 1-800-926-6161 or online at back9development.com. If nothing else, go to that website and check out his awesome portfolio of work that he's done. back9development.com. And play more golf with Great Life Golf online at greatlifekc.com. Send an email if you want to join one of the clubs around Kansas City: Canyon Farms, Falcon Ridge, Prairie Highlands, Staley Farms, Tallgrass in Wichita, Osage National at the Lake. If you want to join or you want more information, send an email to join@greatlifegolf.com. That's join@greatlifegolf.com. Don't think of these as country clubs. Think of them as gyms, basically. Like, you pay a monthly fee and you get to play all the golf you want. That's what Great Life's all about. They also have individual courses around Kansas City that are daily fee. You don't join them. You can just go play them. They're all online at greatlifekc.com. On to sports, and by the time you listen to this, the draft may be underway, but the draft on night one is pretty slow, except for the trades and the things that happen. It's just one pick every few minutes, and it's only one round. So it's not coming fast and furious, but when I think of round one of the draft, I think of busts. I think of the uncomfortable moments. I think of trades that go flop, quarterbacks that sit there in front of the camera for hours on end and don't get drafted. Somebody will probably be on camera tonight and not picked, and they'll have to wait until tomorrow. That will probably happen. Sam McDowell at the Kansas City Star wrote an interesting piece about 15 years of trading up to get a quarterback, because obviously the Chiefs made a whopper of a trade with the Buffalo Bills to draft Patrick Mahomes. The 10 other teams didn't believe in Mahomes. The Chiefs did, and they gave up the farm for him. And now everyone is held to that standard, and they're all trying to trade up to get their quarterback. So Sam McDowell reports that over the last 15 years, there have been 19 trades up for a quarterback in the first round. And here's what's crazy. He uses the number 5 out of 19. I'm going to say 3 out of 19. Teams are batting 3 out of 19 on trading up. Mahomes is one of them. Josh Allen is the second best one. And the third best one is Lamar Jackson. Now, I'm not a Lamar Jackson believer, but Baltimore's made a lot of money. They've won a lot of games. Their fans seem relatively happy with a quarterback that's never going to win a Super Bowl. They seem to be okay with that. I could see Josh Allen winning a Super Bowl. I can't see Lamar Jackson winning one. That's just me. So of the 19 trades up over the last 15 years, you really only have Patrick Mahomes as the one you look at. Okay, that worked. That's it. That's what everybody's shooting for, and Kansas City got it. The other two that are good, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, haven't won a Super Bowl. So generally speaking, what we will see tonight, and there's going to be a quarterback frenzy. There could be 6 of them in the first round. And there's teams wanting to trade up to that 3 spot. There could be some real action here at the end, at the last minute, or big-time trades. They're all trying to hit. And I've used the name Caleb Williams for 2 years because he's been in college. And I said the people that I know in football are watching Caleb Williams and say he reminds them of Patrick Mahomes. He's got the strong arm. He can throw it sideways. He has copied Mahomes' game. He has trained for years trying to throw the passes that Mahomes throws. He's got mad skills. In many ways, he's got some skills that are better than Mahomes. Now, that doesn't matter because the sport and the position really comes down to how you play the position. When it's real, when the game's being played, it's not about the measurables. Patrick Mahomes is not in the best shape he could be in. He's not as fast as he could be. And he justifies it and says, well, you get hit so much, I could use a little extra weight. Okay, whatever. You're winning games. Nobody cares. So when the game's on and you're playing and there's mayhem and pandemonium and you remain calm and you make a winning play, that can't be scouted. That can't be taught. That's just a thing. Does Caleb Williams have that? I don't know. But for 2 years, you know, we were told last year Caleb Williams would have been the number one pick in the draft, but he couldn't come out. So we can talk about a deep quarterback draft, but this is about Caleb Williams. All right, he's the guy. He's supposed to be generational. He's supposed to be in the discussion with Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, that here is a legitimate franchise quarterback. Everybody else trying to move and move up is looking for second, third, fourth, fifth best at quarterback, and it's got to be a wild crapshoot at that point. So for me, unless I'm trading up to get Caleb Williams, I'm not trading up to get a quarterback. I'm not. There's lots of quarterbacks here. You could still draft one if you're picking 13th. The Raiders are one that the Raiders have talked about moving from 13 to 3 to get Jaden Daniels from LSU. Okay, you're sure about him? The Raiders don't have a very good track record of being sure about anything. He's not Caleb Williams. So I think this is going to be a really interesting draft. 3 out of 19 trades up over the last 15 years have worked out when you trade up for a quarterback. That's not very good. I told Jessica yesterday I am going to Ireland. I'm not backing out of this either. I've made the decision I'm going. We were going to go this summer for my 60th birthday. I've always wanted to play golf in Scotland and Ireland and go for my birthday. It fell through for a variety of reasons that don't need to be repeated here. It doesn't really matter. No big deal. It just didn't come to fruition. So we're not doing that. But now Kansas State and Iowa State have announced that Farmageddon will open the 2025 football season in America as the first college game, which means it's the first game. August 23rd of 2025, K-State and Iowa State will play in Dublin to open the season. Many of you Husker fans remember in 2022, Northwestern and Nebraska opened the season in Dublin. It's become a tradition. Notre Dame has obviously played in Ireland and opened the season. K-State and Iowa State, Farmageddon, overseas in Dublin. I cannot think of any better idea than going over a week early. Sorry, folks, there won't be any podcasts that week. I'm going to take that week off, go to Scotland, play a little golf, get on either the ferry or the small jet or whatever to cross the channel, the water there, go out to Ireland, play Ballybunion, go to the game, and come home. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? It's a bucket list thing. It's a bucket list. That's pretty cool. K-State and Iowa State will score some pretty big bank for this. I've talked to some people who this game's going to get a sponsor, I think. Well, this game does have a sponsor. It's an airline. It's the Aer Lingus, which is the European airline, is the sponsor on the game. But the actual Farmageddon itself, I'm told there's a company that is in Iowa and Kansas that wants to be like the title sponsor of the game, put their name on it and pay rights fees and all that stuff. But they don't want it to be called Farmageddon. I'm like, no, that's the reason you sign on. That's the reason you become the sponsor, is this is a cool game. It's become a really nice tradition. K-State and Iowa State have played for over 100 years. It's pretty cool, and it's one of the great names and should become one of the great traditions in college football. Farmageddon. So they're close to getting a sponsor that wants to pay money to put their name on this game, and they don't want to call it Farmageddon? Wow. K-State and Iowa State previously played outside of campus in 2009-2010. They played 2 years at Arrowhead Stadium. Remember those games? I do. One of those, either 2009 or 2010, was the day my buddy Cato got married in Council Grove, Kansas. I remember that. Remember it well. The Royals beat the Blue Jays 3-2. Second night in a row, pitching carried the day. The Royals are 15-10. We will take that. They're 2.5 games back of Cleveland. There's still a little bit of a thought that the record is misleading because the Royals are 5-1 or 6-1 against Chicago. I think they might be 6-1 against the White Sox. The White Sox are 3-21. With a bullet, they're the worst team in Major League Baseball. They are absolutely terrible. They just keep losing. But the Royals have won 2 out of 3 now against a good Toronto team, and they'll try to finish on Thursday, weather permitting. That's pretty cool. And they're headed to Detroit this weekend. Detroit is right behind the Royals. Detroit is better. They're over 500. And so here we go. We're going to get in some meaningful games early in the season and see what the Royals have. The Royals early on had some games where they hit a lot of home runs and scored a whole bunch of runs. They have 6 games where they've scored 9 or more. In the other games, they haven't scored very many at all. Last couple nights, they haven't scored very many, but it's been timely and the pitching's been great and the bullpen has done its job. And the Royals have won 2 in a row. Hey, that's the mark of a winner. You got to find different ways to win on different nights. There's going to be nights that you don't hit, so you better go out and pitch. And if the Royals only scored 3 runs, winning 3-2 is about as good as you can do. Beats losing 6-3, doesn't it? So the Royals are getting that done, and that's pretty cool. It's happening at a time where nobody, and I mean nobody, is watching the NBA playoffs. Sports viewing is up everywhere. NCAA tournament, women's college basketball, the NFL had a record year. Sports viewing is up everywhere. It's up, up, up. But not the NBA. It's amazing when these sports shoot themselves in the foot. Golf's doing it to a certain extent right now. We can see that with the split between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. We can see that golf is splintered and there isn't as much interest in golf. But the NBA cannot shake what they became over the last decade. They became a political organization, activists for the left. BLM on the court, players wearing t-shirts in support, George Floyd tributes, all the different things that they did, anti-anthem, anti-Trump. They did it. America noticed. And here's what we're learning, I think, more than anything else, with COVID, the mistakes that were made, all the lies and everything. COVID. I think America's not real great at noticing things that are wrong as they happen, but we seem to be fairly good at remembering that people were wrong. We seem to have pretty good memories that somebody was, and that the NBA was way wrong. That what they did during those times was bad. It does not line up with the way I live or think. And it's partisan and we don't like it. And people left and they are not coming back. And the ratings are down. Ratings are down like 9% again, which is a big chunk. It's not compelling yet. I mean, I'll watch the, when it gets to the conference finals, I'll watch both those series. I'll be interested. It'll be the best teams playing at the highest level, and that interests me. But the NBA is just kind of a snooze to me. The entire regular season and now the playoffs not doing very well either. The NBA ratings are down. Our final is brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. The jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Mother's Day is around the corner, guys. You better get on it. Joslyn's is a great place to find a small gift, $100 or less. There's all kinds of cool stuff in there for Mother's Day at Joslyn's Jewelry. MyPillow.com, Mike Lindell is having the $25 extravaganza sale right now. Promo code KKHI. That's promo code KKHI. All kinds of products, just $25. My pillows, sandals, towel sets, dish towels, and for the first time ever, the all-new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, my pillow, just $25. MyPillow.com. And Buck Disposal, another great company from Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck's disposal units are all over town. You may be seeing them. It's a great local company to do business with when you need things hauled off. My father-in-law sent me a picture the other day of a contractor that he works with and was doing some work. He said, call Buck Disposal. They're better than the company you're using. These are nice, clean, shiny dumpsters that he brings on your job site. They'll bring them in the morning. You fill them during the day, and they'll take them away at night. Or they even do weekend service. BuckDisposal.com. Our final is for Major League Baseball. On Wednesday night, Cubs reliever Luke Little came into the game with a black glove on that had an American flag on it. The umpire stopped the game, walked out to Luke Little, and confiscated the glove. Said, you need a different glove. You can't use this one. There's a rule in the book that says you cannot have white on your glove. There's very little white on that American flag. But the umpire was enforcing the rule to the letter of the law. My guess is that umpire is a leftist. And there's more to this than just you can't have that on your glove. And so Luke Little had it taken away. They gave him a brand new glove that had not been broken in yet, right out of the box. He said, it was a little unnerving out there pitching with a glove I'm trying to break in at the same time. But apparently, Luke Little, who has worn this glove since A-ball, all the way through the minors and all the way up the big leagues, has never been told he cannot have that little American flag on his glove, was wearing an all-white uniform. You pitch for the Cubs, the home uniforms are white tops, white bottoms. But you can't have the American flag on your glove. Be interesting to see if Major League Baseball overrules this one. It would probably be good for them, publicity-wise, to just say, this is allowed, or here's the part of the glove you can put it on. I think that would be a good policy for Major League Baseball. but they allow all white uniforms and you can't have the American flag on your glove. Luke Little, after the game, took to X, posted a picture of Hulk Hogan playing a red, white, and blue guitar, a little meme, in front of a giant American flag, and the wrestler was screeching on that guitar. And Luke Little writes, under the caption of the Hulk Hogan gif, "I'm proud to be an American." We are fans of Luke Little at KKHI. He pitches for the Cubs. If you ever want to root for somebody, there's your guy. Hey, hit that like or follow button if you don't mind. If you haven't done that yet, please do it or tell a friend about it. And if you'd like to support our sponsors, they are all listed in one tidy little place, thekklist.com.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.